Isaiah 49. Listen, O isles, unto me. Hearken, you people, from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Now this chapter is a reference to Jesus, but it goes farther than that. It's Israel, but it goes farther than that. It's the church. And the prophecy, the things that Isaiah is speaking of, we will find that there are some things that are undoubtedly about the Savior. Undoubtedly. Notice it says, from the bowels of my mother. And the significance there, you say, well, that, you know, we're all born that way. Yeah, but the significance is that he is born of woman. That's what the Bible says, born of woman. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. And the Bible tells us, doesn't it, that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So how is it about Jesus? Well, because his word is the word. And how is it about us? Well, it is about us because our word should be of the word. We should be sharing the word. We should be preaching the gospel. When someone asks us a question about life, we can tell them our opinion, or we can tell them what our church believes. And a lot of times that's how they'll pose it. What does your church teach about XYZ? And the answer that they should receive from us is, the Bible says XYZ. That what the Bible says. And yes, that ought to be what our opinion is. And yes, that ought to be what our church teaches. But it's not based on our opinion. It's not based on our church. It's based on the Word of God. And that should be our answer when people have a question about life that we can draw from Scripture. We ought to answer them with the Word of God so that our answer is as sharp as a sword. It says, in the shadow of his hand hath he hidden me. So Jesus in the hand of God, of course, we always look at that right hand because the right hand is the hand of blessing. It is the hand of strength and power. And, of course, we know the left hand, especially in that culture, is a utility hand. That's the hand you don't want to shake. You want to shake the right hand. And I know there are people that don't have a right hand, or for some reason they can't shake with their right hand, and so they'll offer you their left. And, of course, today that's okay. But back then it was, oh, no, you take the right hand. If you're going to bless somebody, remember when Isaac received the blessing, or when he gave the blessing, he said, put your hand under my thigh. When he instructed his servant to go and find a wife, he said, Abraham said, put your hand under my thigh. And that was a sign of a vow. That was the choicest, is the right side. And so he has hidden me. He has made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. So think about an arrow. You know, we a lot of times think about an arrow, and I think about that verse in that text where the guy just shot an arrow and killed the king. He just haphazardly shot it, but he killed the king, which was the target, and God directed it where it should go. Look, when it comes to Jesus, Jesus was very specific. His timing was specific. His birth was specific. Not only the year, but the time of year. Not only the birth, but also the life. His revealing, if you will, when he was a boy in the temple, about 12 years old. When he was 30 years old and he was baptized by John, very specific. Because at 30, he was now considered a man eligible to teach in the synagogue, in the temple. Now he was old enough to have some sense about him at 30. And I know that people are under 30 don't like that to be said about them, but looking around, nobody in here is offended. So below 30, you know, they weren't considered old enough to be teaching in a temple. But at 30, he was baptized. He was old enough to be a priest. And then, of course, the 3 years of ministry. And again, specific, his arrest, his crucifixion, the communion, all specific. It was very deliberate, like an arrow that is drawn and aimed at a target, and it hit just where it should go. The shaft, he said, it's polished, it's prepared. It's not going to meet any resistance. It's going to go right where it's aimed. And that's the message there in verse number 2. And then he says, in whom I will be glorified. So the Father being glorified in the Son, but not just that. What does Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 say? It says, to him be glory where? In the church. So not only is it Israel, not only is it Jesus, it's also us. And I'm not saying that necessarily Isaiah was speaking of us or that God was giving him prophecy of us, but what I'm saying is it applies to us. Because the Old Testament is so relevant today. As we go back and we look at it, it looks more and more relevant, doesn't it? There are churches that and Christians, they don't like to talk about the Old Testament. They don't want to read the Old Testament. They're missing out on so much. It's so rich. But then he goes to verse 4. Verse 4 is an incredible statement. He says, then I said, I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for naught. And in vain. How many of us have ever looked at our day or our decade or our lives and said, I wasted a lot of time. I spent a lot of energy. Or maybe just a project. How many of you have ever wasted time on a project, you got to the end of it, and it was wasted time, right? I was telling a friend, asking a friend today about building a fence. I got to put up a straight line of fence, privacy fence. And so I was talking to him about it, and I said, well, I was going to do it myself. But it'll take less time if you help. Why? Because he's a fence man. That's what he does every day. And I guarantee you it'll be worth it to have him help, to have me help him. But I said I could do it. I plan to do it. So there are just times that we look at our projects and our time, we say, I've just wasted a lot of time, all I've done. But look at that in the context of Jesus. Jesus ministered, of course, the 30 years, and we set them into history, and then we look at the 3 years. He's about to go to the cross. He has thousands of disciples. We remember him sending out the 70, but there were many more. Thousands. But an inner circle, well, let's say his circle is of 12 and his inner circle of those three. And in that circle of 12 was someone that would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Now, I know that he's God, and I know that he has the foreknowledge and all of that. I know that when he supped in that cup, when Judas did that, Jesus knew he was the one, but he knew that before. All of them have you given to me, and I have lost none save the son of perdition. So Jesus knew that it would be Judas, but Judas in 3 years, Jesus had gotten to know and to love and to like Judas. In fact, when Judas came to betray him, Jesus called him friend. And so in that group of 12, can't you imagine saying, I've wasted my time. Peter draws a sword. He's going to fight it out. He doesn't understand the plan. He doesn't understand. Remember, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They didn't understand. They kept asking questions. He said, guys, I've explained this. He says, in vain. I've just wasted time. It's hard to imagine Jesus saying that. We can see Israel as they serve God and they're faithful to God, and then they don't get what they want. And they say, well, it's all been worthless. We see Christians who walk with God, church people who walk with God, and they get to a certain point, they say, it's all been in vain. I've labored in vain. It's discouraging, I'll admit to you, as a pastor, that in the work and the investment, and you see it, I mean, it's not just me, it's the whole church. that we put into people and we love on people and we try to help them and we try to encourage them. We try to be a blessing and it seems like it's wasted. It's easy to be discouraged, isn't it? I've labored in vain, he says. Spent my strength for nothing, for naught. Yet, look at what he says at the end of this verse. Yet my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. But you know what? He says, if they don't follow, my calling is to serve God. I can't make people serve God. I can't make people do right. I can't make people be faithful. I can't make people see what I see in God. I can't make people see what I see in the Word. I mean, I can explain it, preach it the best I can, but I cannot make you fall in love with it like I love it. I can't make people love the church like I love the church. And so I see where he says, I've done it all for nothing. I've wasted my time. I don't feel that way, by the way. But I can see how sometimes we get there, you know, along the way. Verse 5, now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant. He formed me from the womb to be his servant. What is our calling? See how that applies to all of us? That wasn't just Jesus. That wasn't just Israel. That's us. He formed me to be his servant. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Solomon wrote that in Ecclesiastes. That's what it's all about. Of all the things that Solomon experienced, he gets to the end of Ecclesiastes and he says, fear God and obey him, keep his commandments. That's it. You want a big secret to what life is about? That's what it's about. He formed me to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. So you see where Jesus is to bring Israel back to the Father. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. I mean, what a plan. God says, I'm going to send my only begotten Son. And I know, guys, our expectations. Brother John was talking about it before church tonight. He said, my expectations were so high. We say, Jesus fed 4,000. Plus women and children. So we might say it's 12 to 15,000, maybe 20,000. Jesus stands there on that hill next to the Sea of Galilee and he looks out and he says, why only 20,000? Why isn't all Israel gathered? As he goes and he gives his Sermon on the Mount, why isn't everybody in Israel gathered there? At Passover, when he goes to the temple, and he knows what it's about. Every year they're supposed to go there. And he looks out and he says, why aren't all the men in Israel here? Because that was the command. Why isn't everybody committed? Why isn't everybody surrendered? He says, though I can't reach everybody, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord. If I do my job, you understand? You understand that's what it's about? Not just me, but all of us. We're all supposed to just serve God. To spread the message, to share the love, to share the mission with others of hope and love and forgiveness. We can't make them get saved. I don't know why anybody would walk out without trusting Jesus. I don't know why anybody would come to church and hear about a God that loves them and sent his only begotten Son to forgive their sins. Doesn't that feel good? I just think about my sins being washed away and I feel better. Everything's gone. There are some people that could make accusation about our past. And their accusations would be accurate because we were sinners. And God doesn't hear it. Because God says that's washed away. That's forgiven. God says, how do you expect me to remember that when I exchanged my Son for that? How do you expect me to hold this against them when I gave my Son to wipe it out? God says, I can't remember it. I won't remember it. I refuse to remember it because I paid too much to wash it away. I like verse 6. He said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles." There it is. There's that ministry in Isaiah in the Old Testament. Not only to bring Israel to God, but also to bring the whole world, all the Gentiles, to God. Salvation, not just to the Jews, but to all the world. "That thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Everybody can be saved. "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant." I wonder tonight, is it a light thing that God's called us into the ministry? God looked down and he sent his only begotten son to die for my sins and yours. And not just that, but he loved us in spite of our sin and our rebellion, our rejection. And maybe you didn't get saved the first time God reached out to you and the Holy Ghost came to you and he inspired you. Oh, it's time to come to God. Maybe you're at church or maybe not. But the Holy Ghost came and said, "It's time for you to give your life to the Father." And you didn't do it. God says, "We'll send it. We'll come back. We'll come back." And another visitation came, and the Holy Spirit came to you and said, "Hey, it's time for you to give your life to God." And maybe the second time you didn't listen, you didn't hear, maybe you rebelled. Maybe you said, "I don't believe in all that. I'm too young. I'm too busy. I don't want to give up what I've got to give up to be saved. I don't want to be a Christian. I want to have fun in the world." And the Father said, "We'll come back." He came back. He came back until finally the Holy Ghost gripped your heart and you finally said, "I'm ready." And I'll just submit to you that you were ready the first time, you just didn't know it. Because if you hadn't been ready, the Holy Ghost wouldn't have been there. "Is it a light thing that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth?" Is it? He says it is. Is it a light thing? He said that's just one part of it. He said, not just the Jews, everybody. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to tell you something. It's a huge thing. It's a giant thing that God looked at us and said, "You can make a difference. To be my salvation to the ends of the earth. That you can minister. Our church is active in our financing and our prayers and our encouragement around the world. People will never meet this side of heaven. Have been saved because we've invested around the world." It's not a light thing. It's a huge thing. Verse 7. "Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth," right? Jesus, Israel, us. "To him whom the nation abhorreth," Jesus, Israel, the church. "To a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee." God says, "I want you to keep doing the work. I want you to be faithful in the work, and I want you to know that they will look to you for the answer." God has chosen us to be the light to the world. God has chosen us and our ability to form the words and develop the thoughts to reach the people around us that nobody else can reach. He's chosen you. He's chosen me. He's chosen you for your circle and me for my circle. He's chosen you for where you are and where you'll be and me for where I am and where I'll be. What a privilege. What an opportunity. Verse 8. "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee." Are your prayers being answered? God says, "Trust my timing. In an acceptable time have I heard thee. In a day of salvation have I helped thee." You need him. He hasn't given up. He hasn't quit. He's not asleep. He's not on vacation. He's just, "Trust my timing. I will preserve thee. What's he talking about? He's talking about a man who died on a cross. Who died on the cross. And they put him in a tomb. But he's not there anymore. He didn't stay. Why? God said, I'll preserve thee. Your life is in my hands. Not only for him, but for Israel, but for us. And give thee for a covenant of the people. The New Testament, a covenant. Jesus, as he passed the communion cup, he said, this is the blood of the New Testament. The covenant. This is what brings us to God, is that covenant through the blood of Christ. To establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. That thou mayest say to the prisoner, go forth. Liberty, grace, forgiveness. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. That they should come out of the darkness into the light. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all the high places where the best grass is. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Who's our leader? Jesus. Who's the head of the church? Jesus. What is the church referred to? The body of Christ. Paul said, now we can't all be hands, we can't all be eyes. Some are ears and some are toes. Which are you? Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. I'll make my all my mountains away. My highway shall be exalted. Verse 14, Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. I know in times we feel that way. But this is God's response to that. Verse 15. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Hard for us to imagine, isn't it? God says, well, could happen. They may forget. Yet will I not forget you. God has not forgotten us. He loves us. And he finally tells us how he proved it in verse number 16. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Our salvation he bears in his flesh. Our salvation, his love for us, is forever marked in the palms of his hands. He loves us that much. It is a light thing, he says. He said, it's not burdensome. Remember he said that? It's not grievous, not burdensome. What I'm expecting of you, what I give to you, this calling, this mission I give you, he said, it's a light thing. It's not a lot. He didn't ask us to give up everything, did he? He washed our sins away, left the past behind us. But you know, he didn't say we couldn't get married. Didn't say we couldn't have kids. Didn't say we couldn't enjoy the life of a family or the life of an individual. He didn't say we couldn't do that. He just said, while you're doing that, glorify me. You don't have to give everything up. But we need to include him, and we need to include ministry. It needs to be who we are everywhere. It should be our identity that we're serving him, that he should be glorified in us. Would you stand? Father, we love you so much. Indeed, we know you have not forgotten us. When we are discouraged, it is our devotion to be faithful to you. When it seems like it hasn't worked out, when it seems like the effort has been fruitless, we were born to serve you. We understand the calling of our Savior, and we understand the calling you've placed on us. to share your salvation, to take your salvation to the ends of the earth. God, help us to be good evangelists, good ministers, good witnesses, to testify of your grace and to show your word by the way we live. Dismiss us now with your grace. Forgive our sins and bring us back again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.